vacuum tape.
That's right. And
yeah. Of course, you couldn't pump it. Couldn't sort
it. It had a gauze halfway down the tank. There was a gauze, and of course, it was pulled through there. Right.
Oh yes, to keep hold back any solids, keys of glue and stuff like that. It's pure NG came through.
The top half of the tank was thinner than the bottom half. It was made in two different thicknesses of lead, that they stood the vacuum.
So the stronger part could stand the vacuum.
That's right. Yeah. It's,
Williams is in charge, and he told you about.
Superintendent, wasn't he, Williams?
Yes, he told you about. Looking
past it. No, he said they got to be made not in a washing machine, you know, anywhere. And of course, I was in right from the start of combustible cases.
Oh, so you had to help to make the plant to make these.
I made the formers.
Oh, the formers.
In stainless steel, then.
Yeah.
The formers, big formers like this. Sizes.
Folded round from sheet metal.
That's right. We tried all sorts of things, you know, all sorts of funny things. I mean, I didn't put that down wrong. I wasn't supposed to be in some of these buildings. I mean, we blew the building, press house up one day.
Oh, yeah.
It came out the roof, the press house did.
Yeah.
And landed on.
Was that near the south, near the lab? Near
the hospital?
Yes, I actually saw that go up. Well, I was looking through the window and it looked like a volcano.
Well, actually, it wasn't combustible cases. It was doing the cordite was coming out the press and it wasn't drying quick enough, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because it comes out and if it don't dry quick enough, it
collapses.
Doesn't it? And I was made a long track.
Mm. to support it.
And with air in it, you know. Yes. So it blew it as it came out.
Oh, to dry it off, yeah.
Dry it off.
Yes.
It came out there. But the blooming container went, the lid went through the roof and the press house went up. They never did build a press house anymore.
No.
You used to come home sometime with some terrible headaches, didn't you, Arthur? Yeah,
I mean, legally, I wasn't supposed to be in there, but you can't work a plant if you're experimenting and building.
You've got to be a bit casual.
We looked at it this way, like the combustible cases. I used to make the thing, and the draftsman would draw it then. I said, well, I'd chuck it away. I mean, if you were some little private firm, Ron, you couldn't afford to have draftsmen draw it and it'd be wrong before you started, could you? So the best way is to make it, and if that works, let him draw it.
Yes.
And they got annoyed with me, the draftsmen, they almost went on strike somehow.
You just made a little prototype to try it out.
Well, sometimes it's a big type, but if it works, draw it.
Yes.
That's right.
If it worked, he was a good boy.
Yeah.
If he did, well, he was not really good.
Well, I mean, it was such a big thing to get started. It's easy now you've made one because everybody else can copy it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was even phoning up from Bishopton to know how to make
these. I'm asking you about this, these formers.
Yeah, I asked them about it. I wouldn't tell them. Don't go in for that sort of business. I could have had a job up in Bishopton, I wouldn't go.
That. You were with Les Beans, weren't you?
He was a foreman.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because he used to shut his eyes, didn't he?
Well, you have to be a little bit circumspect, you know, just otherwise nothing gets done.
As long as he got his paper from Wallace, which guaranteed the work, didn't it?
Dick Doe's wife and I, we were there in the club one night at a dance. And we decided, because see, my term, I had to work Saturdays and he didn't. So there was naturally, I used to get the Ike sometimes. So Doris and I decided that we was going to have that going unapplied to get a paper and we was going in there. You'd have seen his face and Dick's, you'd have thought we'd committed murder.
Yeah.
So when I come home, I said, why have you got so much against me going into the factory, hopefully going in that we...
What, to look round?
No, to work.
Oh, yes, yes.
Wanted to go in where the, I forget what job we thought we wanted in there, where the women were. And so he says, what have you got so much against it? He said, for one thing, I don't think women ought to work where their men do, but that was the excuse. See, I didn't know so much as I know now. So, of course, when I hear him say he was here, he was there, he was something like that, I thought, yeah. And, of course, old Dick was the same, but I don't know why Dick didn't want her in there. But he, at the finish, I concluded that I see too much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I used to make old whipped breads. Pouring TNT, he used to pour TNT.
Molten TNT from a jug.
Yeah, I used to make them jugs.
Oh, a steam jacket or something.
He'd come up here one day, Ron. Oh, he'd come up to see me one day.
Oh,
was
George.
That the last man that called, you know, some time ago? Was that Mr. Whitbread?
Yeah, he came
to see you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's. Then
oh,
I
no more, thanks, sure.
Then I made the.
Oh, I'm not worried about washing the cars. I'm just running, trying to keep you lubricated.
That makes too much noise. It comes out on you.
But George was great for trying out the ideas. Old George
He can.
I'm not doing that on there now.
He's another one that come down the shop. You know, he's because what people don't understand was we didn't have no tools in those days to make these things.
No.
I mean, you had an electric drill. Our drill in the shop was a hand drill like this in our shop.
Yes.
I mean, it's all you had an electric drill to polish
but
with.
But the pillar drill was done by hand.
Well, it was one of these Lee Sten things from America. You know, and I made the thing for the, what's the black stuff called?
Black powder.
No. What strengthens things are on
Carbon fibre.
I made that thing in the big room.
Oh.
And it got sent away somewhere, didn't it? So got sold and sent away to foreign country or something. But these sheets of stuff I had, Ron, in those days was £100 a time. If you made a mistake on them, they was like a sponge, you know. Stainless steel sponge, because
what were they used for then? They were like
make these carbon fibres.
Oh yes, I remember that. Sort.
Didn't you? No, yeah. I was in the big room. You know, Jeff Williams in there.
Oh, George Whitbread come up and see you. You said once talk about come to see.
No, just come to see me. Oh, knew that Arthur wasn't well.
Oh, I see.
That was all it was.
Oh yeah.
Oh, he's always nice.
Yeah, well, because I did a lot for him, really. Mm. But, we're spread about all over the factory.
Oh, yeah. What, in little huts or something?
There was fire stations built each side the river, and these little Coventry Climax engines were in them. I mean, it's no good a fire engine being down the middle because it couldn't get to cross the rivers or anywhere in those days. I mean, you've got to remember.
So you had to have lots of them scattered around.
They're scattered around and the wood for the black powder was stacked in like little sheds they cut down from the factory and stacked in sheds to dry.
This would be back in the 30s, I suppose, wouldn't it? When
back in the 30s. But these little sheds, like bike sheds, were placed here and there, and the wood was stacked in there, ready.
Oh,
it was grown in there. It's,
and if you wanted a fire engine, one would come out from just locally, you know, a small one.
Well, it'd have to be a hand-pulled one.
Yes.
Because the fire station, what you know as the fire station, was down near the Hump Bridge towards the main gate.
Flagstaff Bridge, as we call it, That was quite a small fire engine, wasn't it? Like a little...
That's right.
Not horse-pulled, was it? It was, as you said, a little Coventry Climax.
That's right. Well, you couldn't have horses pull them, could you? Because all although horses used to pull the boats.
Yeah.
The barges. But
any tales about the boats that you recall? Any funny episodes that you...
What about the boats?
Yeah.
Well...
Well, they pulled by hand. They fell in. The boats fell in sometimes, didn't they?
Well, the horses used to pull the barges.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Up from outside.
From outside, not inside.
They used to go under the old English bridge, didn't they, Arthur?
They used to bring about 70 tonne of coal in, and the horses would pull.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, the water was quite near where they wanted it.
Oh,
yeah.
You know. I don't know if you can, this corroborates the story at all, but... down at the Lee Valley Centre, Pete was given a painting lesson one day. One of the ladies there, her father owned a dairy at Kirby or something, I think the name was, in Waltham Cross. And I've got the recording somewhere, but she was telling us that it wasn't unknown for the for them to get onto the dairy and say, we've got a horse to spare, and he'd bring a horse along to tow a barge from Waltham Abbey to from the mills to Enfield Lock.
I wouldn't know that.
No, anyway, sorry, that's another story.
No, it's... well, we had sailing barges come up to get the sailing... The sailing barges used to come up to the top end, bridge.
They'd have to be towed. They couldn't sail. They'd be towed up the river.
Well, they'd come up the main river and then...
What were the canteen facilities like there, Arthur? Did you have any?
We used to have two canteens up the NG, and they were terrible, really, because they had just gas ovens, and you took whatever you wanted to work and heated it up if you wanted to.
You heated your lunch up for you.
But the rats would jump out first. I mean, after the new canteen was built, we didn't know where we were, really, because we'd been used to this.
Yeah, originally, it was that they provided that heating rather than actually cooking the food. You took your food in there and they heated it for you.
Well, there wasn't a canteen then.
No.
There. You just did it, you know, just said somebody clean the place. But most people... when they went to the canteen, were lined up behind the charge end and all marched down there. And when the time was up, they'd ring a bell and you'd have to get back to work again.
You went like a single file, is that
right?
Along
in... like being in the army.
Yeah.
You'd lined up to go and march behind there.
And then you had how long did you have to get your lunch down?
Half hour.
Half hour, yeah.
Half hour, no longer.
Oh, yeah.
And as I say, when they finished, they ring a bell, and time to go, you'd all get outside and march back again.
Oh, yeah.
And it's...
you were given walking time, were you, to, like, at the end of the day?
From the gate to the NG, we were allowed 10 minutes.
Oh, so you'd arrive at the gate in time to clock out. That's how it would work.
Well, the clocking area was at the NG.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You walked up there and...
so really, the 10 minutes was... You could clock off 10 minutes before time.
That's right.
Time to walk
down. That's right. You was allowed 10 minutes. Because no bikes was allowed in those days. They were all kept outside the factory. Because no cars and no...
Oh, no.
Nothing.
No, in bikes, they didn't like...
No.
Bikes, I suppose.
Only up to the main lab.
Oh, yeah.
They were allowed bikes because it was the only lab in the place.
Yeah. Who was the chemist in charge of the lab then? Would it be old Blanchard?
Blanchard. Walter Blanchard, yes.
Was Harry Jakes there as a washer-up? Was he there when you were there?
No.
No, so,
Alec Baines.
Alec Baines, yes.
Ted Hitch.
Yeah, Ted. Oh, yeah.
Freddie Dell.
George Smith, was he?
George Smith. Everybody used to start in the main lab that was a chemist and do a month in there before they went out on the section. I used to make, how I got to know everybody, I used to make the tea for all the people. They used to have their tea in the afternoon.
Oh, what, people in the lab? In the main lab?
No, the superintendents would come up.
Oh, they'd come up and...
Bowden. They'd all come up and I'd make the tea for them.
It was like a little meeting.
They'd have a little meeting then.
Oh, nice.
I asked if I could have a garden, and they let me dig 3 10-foot circles outside the main lab. So I dug it and it looked very nice and planted it all with flowers which I bought myself. And when I went back the next morning, the rabbits had let everything.
Did you give up at that stage? Or?
No, I didn't give up. I felt sorry for me. Because I was only young.
Didn't have much money, did you?
No, and so they suggested putting wire around. So they gave me some wire, a netting, and I replanted it again after the wire netting was round. And it all used to look nice.
Oh, that's kind of funny.
It made it bearable to look at. I mean, you've got to remember, a plantation, if a tree fell down, it fell down and stayed there, unless it fell across a footpath. And the grass was about 2 foot high, or something like that, you know, where you walked.
I think Glad's trying to say something. What was he going to say about time at the factory?
When Arthur finished work, I realised that he was always very happy there. And he said to me one day, in fact, when weekends were on, he was glad to go back on Monday morning to see if the thing that he'd either made or mended was satisfactory.
That's lovely.
Oh, I had a happy time there, really. It was a happy factory.
It was a little community, everybody
together. As I say, I got treated like one of
them.
Although I washed the floors and cleaned all 120 windows, I think it was, in that main lab.
And it always made you that way at home. You know, Arthur's always liked to, everything about, but Arthur was all. He was a good influence on me because I knew to please him. He always loved to be tidy, always.
McClintic, I suppose you've heard of him. He was there when I was there. He used to treat me just like everybody else.
Yes, well, on that happy note, Arthur, I'm glad. I think we'll close this little session and look forward to perhaps having a few more words if you get anything, get it down and jot down a bit of paper, we put it in the archives.
Yeah, be lovely.